Let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8. A month or two, I'd say, that we looked at Romans, chapter 8. I didn't completely finish it yet, but I did get a question. I don't know if it was somebody over the radio or what, but somebody sent a letter with regard to Romans, chapter 8 and verse 15. It's only it's a good text. It's a real good text to preach from. So probably what I want to do is cover Romans 8, 15 through 17. But the main focus is going to be on Romans 8 and the verse 15. Okay? So we'll go ahead and have another word of prayer. You can remain seated. I don't want to run you up and down. But let me go ahead and have a word of prayer. I'll go ahead and read what we're going to be looking at this evening. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption." Everybody say adoption. So actually, we're a child of God by new birth and by adoption. We're a child two different ways. I want you to remember that. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you've received the spirit of" what? "Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Let me go ahead and read 16 and 17. Kate, just to leave them lay there. "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together." So let us pray. Father, we're thankful today for the people that were here today. It was a blessing to see the folks, different ones coming back, and we continue to pray to get a lot of other folks back too. We're thankful for what we have. We're so thankful for those that are here this evening, and we pray that you would touch us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that you'd move across this congregation this evening. And perhaps if there be anyone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, that perhaps today would be the day that they would trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, we pray for our nation. I don't know what to say other than I pray that you grant us grace. There's a lot of things we don't deserve, but we don't really deserve anything, Master, but you've given us great grace for so many, many, many years. And Lord, we pray for our nation that perhaps God would grant us a revival in this land. And we pray that the Spirit of God would move and touch people. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Okay? All right. Romans 8 and verse 15. It says in verse 15, we've not received the spirit of bondage to fear. Now, at one time, I was in bondage. If you're here, if you was anything like me, at one time I was in bondage to sin. And I was in a bad way. And I don't know, I've told you this before, I think that if the Lord hadn't saved me, I think I'd have died. I really do. I think God intervened, and I think God had a plan for me. Let me put it that way. I think God had a plan for me. And I think that that plan, he planned one day to save me from the condemnation of hell. I think he decided, and you know when I think I believe that he decided to do that? I think he decided to do that before the foundation of the world was ever laid. I really do. I think I heard an old timer say up in the mountains one time, he said there was a time and the day when the Lord looked up and he looked upon me and he said, I love Jeff Arthur. And I want to save him. And I'm going to grant to Jeff Arthur his grace. all God's people said. And that's not because, what brings about salvation is the Lord. I think one of the problems with people today is they think they saved themselves. You can't save yourself. You can't. You have to have, the Holy Spirit has to open a sinner person's heart. Lydia was a seller of purple. And the scripture says, whose heart the Lord opened. Now let me ask you a question. Who opened your heart? Well, the Lord did. So who gets the glory for the open heart is always going to be the Lord is the one that done it. He opened your heart. When He opens your heart, it's basically to open your mind. It's to open your understanding. And that's what He does whenever He saves a sinner person. Do you remember when you was a sinner? Do you remember it? Man, don't forget it. I remember what it was. I'd like to forget what it was, but you can't. But I'll tell you one thing. God granted to me His marvelous, amazing grace. And this old sinner man didn't deserve that, but that's what he did. And that changed my whole world around when the Lord saved me. It was just a total, total change. So, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now, when we're talking about the Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are what? We are the children of God. All God's people say it. That's the greatest thing you can possibly have is to be in the child of God. Let's move back up to 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. We have not received the spirit of what? Bondage. This is Romans 8 and verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption. Now, like I said, I'm a child two ways. I'm a child by new birth. I've been born again. But I'm also a child by what else? By adoption. We sing that song, I've been adopted, my name's written down. So I've been adopted, new birth and adoption. Child two ways. All God's people say, that's a wonderful place to be. That's a wonderful place to be. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we've received the spirit of adoption. And God adopted us. Adopted and also by a new birth. Okay? So, whereby we cry what? Abba, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Which just basically means Abba, basically means what we would call it today is daddy. Basically, it's like saying daddy is the idea of that particular phrase. Isn't that pretty good? So, what a salvation that is it not? And He did that for us, but why did He do it? He did it because in His grace and His mercy, He chose one day to save an old hell-bound sinner like who? Like Jeff Arthur. And He saved me and He called me by His grace. I wasn't saved by my deeds. And if you think you were saved by your deeds, that's way off. You can't save yourself by your deeds. Now, when you're born again and you trust Jesus as your Savior, and He gives you everlasting life. He removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. He's done all of that for us. But in this flesh body, we still sin. I'm saved and I'm born again, but yet at the same time, I still sin. Now, the thing that I look forward to more than anything else in this world, as I look forward to having this body that we've been talking about, we're going to get a body that will never sin. this body is a wretched body. It's a sinful body. And even though we're saved, we still have that sinful nature in our hearts. Do we all have a sinful nature? Now, you best say so, because I'm telling you right now, you have one, because you're not without sin. That's why we needed who? That's why we needed Jesus. That's why we needed Him as our Savior, because that's the only one that could pay our price. And the greatest thing you can have is this, and back to verse 15, the Spirit of adoption. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. I don't want to get too off base here. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Okay. Ephesians 1 talks about blessings. Blessings that belong to those who have been born again. There's a big list of blessings right here in Ephesians 1. We like to call them spiritual blessings that we have that is priceless. And some of them are named here in this text of Ephesians 1. And if I ain't careful, I don't want to go too long on it. But in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 on down in the text, it's just a beautiful example of salvation. I think a lot of folks sometimes has the tendency to think that they are the one that saved herself. But what I'm trying to tell you is you didn't save yourself. God is the one that saved you. Before you were born again, I want you to listen to this. The Scripture says that you were dead in trespasses and in sins. I didn't say you was a little bit sick. The Bible says you were dead. Ephesians 2 says you were dead in trespasses and in sins. So, what does a dead man do? Tell me. Nothing. They just kind of lie there. There's nothing they can do. But the only way someone can be made alive is in the new birth. When the Holy Spirit of God takes and He goes into your heart, so to speak, and you trust Him as your Savior, and He gives you a whole change of He gives you a change of mind, which is a repentance is a change of mind. Old things will pass away and all things will become new. Yeah. Now, beloved, if someone's born again, they're going to be new. They're going to be different. We used to sing a song, "Things Are Different Now." things are different when you're born again. And people will see different things happen. You'll have a change in your conduct. Y'all agree? If someone don't have a change in their conduct, I wonder what's wrong with them. Do you? I mean, there has to be a change of conduct in somebody. I'm not saying that's the cause of salvation. It's the effect of it. There'll be a change of conduct in your life. And that'll be something that people will be able to see. I stayed in trouble all my years, almost all my years of high school until the latter part of my junior year. But I got in so much trouble, you just couldn't believe it. But when the Holy Spirit opened my heart and saved my soul, truly, I think, man, my whole world changed. It did. It changed my whole world. I had a fear of falling back. I knew if I ran around with the crowd that I ran around with before, I knew if I ran with them, I'd fall back. So all I really did, I had one friend. Of course, that was Neil back in them days. But, man, I knew I had to have at least one person that could kind of keep me accountable. And I'm thankful. Oh, my, I am so thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Sunday school teachers that I had and the preachers that was here that taught me. But it's important. It's important that you be grounded after that you've been born again into the things of the Lord. There should be, like we've already said, old things pass away, all things becoming new. So, Ephesians chapter 8, let's go back. Did I read the text there? I can't remember. Yeah, now let me read this. The only reason I'm scared to do this is because that's my favorite text. And if I get on that, I don't want to spend very long on it. So you throw a pencil at me if I go over 10 minutes. Amen. Okay. Blessed be God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these are blessings. Spiritual blessings is what they call this. Everybody say spiritual blessings. And these spiritual blessings are listed here in this text. Now, who put these here was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit put these blessings in this text. And it's the greatest things you could ever have. Are you ready? I'm going to read some of them to you, and then I'm going to go back to verse 15. It says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." You see where it says spiritual what? Spiritual blessings. Everybody say spiritual blessings again. And these are the spiritual blessings that I'm going to share with you tonight. Who put these blessings in the book? Well, the Holy Spirit did. He certainly did put them there. So, all right, are you ready? Here's the first one. Here's the first spiritual blessing. According as He's chosen us in Him, according as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. This text tells me plainly that He chose to save an old sinner man like me before the foundation of the world was ever laid. So that means He loved me back there before the world ever began. He's loved me all this time. And you know what He did one of these days? I don't know how He done it, but I like the Father said, "You know what? I love Jeff Arthur. And you want to know a little something? I'm going to save him. And I'm going to call him by my grace. And I'm going to make him my child." All God's people say it. I think that's what He did. That's a wonderful thing. You know what that does with us, though, don't you? It wasn't us that done it. It wasn't us that done it. Was it? It's God the one that does it. All God's people say it. And that changed my life forever, buddy. There's a lot of changed people have been coming. Hey, there's been a lot of changed people that come and hear the gospel message. It's a wonderful thing. Now, let me go back. I got to get out of Ephesians. I'll get stuck there and I'll never be able to get out of it. I know myself. I think I know myself. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. All right. Now, this the question. Now, remember, we're going to do questions on Sunday night. If you got a question about what a doctrine that I preach, or if you got a question about what we do here, put it on a piece of paper. You don't even have to put your name on it. And if you're embarrassed to do that, some people are. That don't bother me either. But we've had as many as this high before where people had questions. So we're going to run this. This is the first one. And then we're going to work our way through that. And we're just going to do that on Sunday evenings. Just going to do that on Sunday evenings. And that, if you got a question, there's a box in the back in the foyer, and you just write your name on it. I mean, if you don't want to write your name, you don't have to do that either. You can just write your question on it and put it in the box, and then I'll cover it up here. All God's people say, I think you enjoy it. We've always had a good time. We've always had a good time doing that, just haven't done it in a bit. Okay, back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. Now, we were in bondage to a sin debt at one time, right? But what God did when He saved a sinner man like me is He set me free from that bondage. So I've been free from my sin. He paid my debt. How much did He pay my debt? Yeah, He paid it 100%. Now, the reason why it has to be 100% because one sin is sufficient to send you to hell for. One evil thought could send you to hell for. So it required the sacrifice of one that was perfect. And that perfect one was Jesus. So you've not received the... We're not under bondage no more, are we? Aren't you glad you're not under bondage? If Jesus would come tonight, my condemnation has been put away. He's paid my sin debt. So I have no fear of bondage no more. That's a little boy, man. Them Baptist preachers down here, they come in, they preach and preach, and they preach on hell. And I guess that's a lot of places. Gets to be outdated. Hey, beloved, there is a hell. As the same, there is a heaven. And everybody just don't automatically float up to heaven. You have to be born again. You have to have everlasting life. And the only one that can pay the debt that you owe is Jesus. And He paid it. He paid it. Tetelestia. Remember what it means? One word in the Greek. What's tetelestia mean? Paid in full. All God's people say. So He paid my price in full. I don't worry about hell. I worry about those going to hell, but far as I'm concerned, I'm ready to go up anytime, and I just like to fight a little longer. I'd like to preach a little longer, wouldn't you? I want to serve a little longer, and then when the King's done with me, He'll bring us home. All God's people say it. Man, that's a wonderful thing. All right. So we're not in bondage again to fear. That's verse 15. We're not in bondage to fear anymore. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of hell. Our condemnation was paid in full by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right. But ye have received the spirit of what? Spirit of adoption. And like I said, I'm a child by new birth, but I'm also a child by adoption. And in the book of Ephesians, one of the things that, let me go back and turn to that. I got to read this. If I don't, I'll mess this up. Go to the book of Ephesians just real quick. Book of Ephesians. Okay. All right, if you're ready, say amen. I'm going to hang my hat here just a little bit. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in what? Heavenly places. Now, I'm going to move from verse 4 down to verse 7, and then we'll stop. Are you ready? If you're ready, say amen. Amen. All right, here we go. Now, who wrote this Bible? Lord did. This whole book was authored by Him. And I'm just going to read down through the text what's here, okay? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Spiritual what? So he's putting the focus on the spiritual blessings, Timmy, that we have. See, he's putting that on there. Now, here's some of the spiritual blessings that we have. According, he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. When did he determine to save Jeff Arthur? When did he determine to do it? It says, according as he's chosen us in him, when did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. Now, beloved, I never wrote this book. I just read it. So, the glory for salvation goes to who then? All Jesus. My salvation's all Jesus. It's not a little bit of me and a little bit of something else. It's all Jesus. He shows us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predetermined us unto the adoption of children. See, I'm a child, like I told you, by new birth, but also by adoption. And in adoption, the Father chooses the child. All God's people say it. That's the difference. So I'm a child by new birth, and I'm also a child by adoption. Rick, I'm a child two ways. That's a wonderful salvation. That's a wonderful salvation. So He's predestinated us to the adoption of children according to the good pleasure. The good pleasure of whose will? God's will. God's will. Okay? All right, let's turn back to the one text and we'll quit. It's my second quitting. Let's go back to Romans 8. Because this is the one that they wrote to me to cover for them. I just want to make sure I've crossed every T I need to do. Romans chapter 8 and the verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. Again, to fear. He's talking to the Romans. Romans was a church. He's writing this to a what? A church. It's the church of Rome. Okay? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage to fear. You know, one time, I can remember being fearful of dying and going to hell. I can remember that. I had a fear of that. For you have received not the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption. Who paid the adoption price? Lord did. Man, what an adoption price he had to pay to purchase somebody like me. But that's just exactly what he did. Well, beloved, I'm going to go ahead and stop. If I keep going, I don't want to go and just keep going on and on. But what I'm going to tell you, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus, I'd like to encourage you to come up after the meeting. Maybe I said something that you don't understand, or maybe I even said something you didn't like. I don't do that on purpose either. But sometimes people don't like things. But if you'd like to talk to me tonight about salvation, you come up on one of these front two pews. I'm going to be going to the back till the people leave. And then I'll come up and talk to you about salvation. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, how about tonight? Maybe the Lord will give you an understanding tonight, and you've seen what's